Ever try to get into one of Advertising Week's amazing sessions and suddenly hear that the room is at capacity? Now you can still experience it in real time. Listen to that keynote or panel as a live audio stream in the Advertising Week app, powered by Live365. Advertising Week Radio features sessions, podcast clips, curated music, and more, both during the shows and year-round. Visit aw.live365.com for easy access instructions. Live365, the world's audio.
Welcome to Great Minds, and our guest today is Alex Colmer. Alex is the founder and CEO at VidMob. They are really at the forefront of everything that our industry is trying to figure out. That collision of AI, data, video, of course, at the heart of it, but really an interesting company. You are the founder. It's been give or take, it's got to be almost 10 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, this fall will be 10 years.
Oh my goodness. I remember when you guys first came around. So Alex, you've been very, very active in helping educate that next generation of content creators. And I hearken back to a seminar we did years ago at the Tribeca Film Festival, where the filmmaker, producer, actor Ed Burns talked a lot about the democratization of technology and what that meant in terms of putting tools in people's hands. I'd love to start our conversation by talking about your passion there for that next generation. I know you've been very active on a number of boards to that end, as sort of a, perhaps not the most obvious jumping off point, but I think an interesting one.
Well, listen, if we can do anything as impactful as Ed Burns did with the Brothers McMullen, I will be very happy. But no, it's a great call out, right? I mean, like they definitely were among the first to use sort of new lightweight, high quality cameras to be able to, I mean, I feel like I read an article, it must've been 25, 30 years ago about how they made that film for $25,000. And that obviously sort of helped change an industry. And in this case, it's obviously a little bit different, but we're talking about using, technologies like AI to, again, really help sort of change the nature of creativity. Not in any way aimed at making people less creative or taking jobs away from creative folks, but helping to provide information so the things that we're curious about we can learn and actually make smarter, better, more impactful creative decisions.
So going back, looking at VidMob now, and I'm going to jump around a little bit here sort of on purpose, about 10 years old today in 2024, VidMob is really viewed as the leading AI creative performance platform for brands, for marketers. But 10 years ago, AI, as we know it today, didn't exist. Talk about the early evolution, the origin story, if you will, of VidMob, and how you have stayed ahead of the curve, really riding that technological wave as it's evolved.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think in a lot of ways, it actually sort of dovetails to your first question about sort of, like how I end up engaging with, sort of the next generation of entrepreneurs and folks sort of coming, on this similar path. Because that's sort of, I guess, one of the most common questions I'm asked is, like, how did you get to there? How did the business evolve over the course of, over its history? And I think maybe this is not the best analogy, but I always sort of think of it like pulling a loose string in a sweater. Originally you have just this little piece sticking out and you keep pulling and pulling and pulling. And obviously it grows into something much bigger. So that loose string for us in the beginning was just this idea that the web was about to transition from primarily static text and images as the way people communicated to more complex media types. The first being video, but the expectation is that we'll continue to progress towards more and more immersive and more difficult media types. And our original idea was just, hey, when this happens, it's going to become a lot harder to communicate. It's just much easier to write something or to take a picture than it is to create a really compelling, 10-second ad on Instagram or TikTok or anything. And so we started with a tech-enabled marketplace to match brands and folks who sort of wanted to communicate but didn't have the ability to make performant content at scale with, editors effectively who had both the talent and the desire to do that work. So in a nowadays, I would say it's probably kind of like Uber for video editors. We would have, literally never said that at the time, but it's a good shorthand. So we built that marketplace, launched it, and really quickly after launch, started working with Snapchat. They were sort of our first platform partner. And what we found there was that they had a lot of advertisers who were interested in advertising on the Snap platform, but they didn't know how to communicate effectively there. And when they had ads that failed, they just stopped, right? They just go spend on TV or spend on Facebook or Google. And so it was, in a sense, like Snap's problem to solve for performance. And so they found that they could use our platform to get matched up with folks who really understood that Snap format and sort of what was kind of native to the Snap experience. And that kind of helped sort of scale our business. So we, from there, sort of basically took that, and next thing we knew, Facebook wanted to sort of partner us with in a similar way. And then Twitter and Pinterest and Amazon, TikTok, and LinkedIn. So we sort of, that became kind of like our first like scale partnership. And then like pulling on the sweater thread a little bit, we realized, hey, our clients now are dealing with very complex projects. They're making, hundreds of pieces of content. We need to build software to make that process more smooth. So we built workflow software to enable media management and the review and approve from dealing with drafts, and then ultimately the distribution of finished content. That got us plugging into ads APIs, so you could push just like a single button and have all your content go to the places your media agencies are going to spend dollars behind it. And when we did that, all of a sudden we started getting data back, and we could see how every piece of content we touched performed. And it sort of occurred to us that, hey, this is an industry that about 25 years ago split apart creative and media. Creative agencies really generally have very little view into the actual performance of the content they make. And media agencies sort of wait, catch the content the day before it goes live and push it out, oftentimes without knowing sort of much about the creative itself. And that just didn't make any sense. Like everyone sort of universally agrees creative is 50%+ of the driver results. But yet here's this thing where basically the different pieces don't know what's going on, and there's very little data or technology. So there we kind of realized, hey, this business that we're building is actually much more interesting than a creative marketplace. Like we can actually start building software to sort of help understand creative decisioning and tie it to performance and help those creators actually understand, hey, when I put my logo like 12 pixels to the right on TikTok versus, on a Snap ad, that leads to a 37% increase in performance. It's not going to change their creative thinking, but it can drive like material advances in how they're performing. So, we basically just kept moving towards more things that would add more and more value to our clients and using that as the North Star. And that ended up with where we are today, which is, I think, probably 5 times more interesting than the original business we started. And we just got here not through any great plan, but just sort of following, our clients' asks.
So that's a great segue. And I wanted to talk about the constitution of being a founder. VidMob is not the first company that you founded. We can go back to Audm Entertainment and then the offshoot focused on gaming. But talk about the constitution of an entrepreneur. You have an engineering background, so not a business background per se, though clearly, business and understanding how to build and grow a business is part of your DNA. But talk about that, because there are highs and lows, plans change. You alluded to it just now about how look where you are now relative to where it was then. Parts of the journey are expected, parts of the journey are unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's hard to have any sort of single, set of characteristics that entrepreneurs have to have. But I think for me, what I would say is that my whole life, people have essentially made fun of me for being somewhere between unrealistically optimistic and insanely optimistic. I have either the skill or the disease of being able to take essentially any bad news and see the silver lining in it. And I think that's pretty key, right? Like, because you're going to have a lot of, tough days, and frankly, most great opportunities for entrepreneurs are in categories where a lot of other people have looked and said, "Hey, there's nothing there." So you've got to be probably a little bit crazy, or just believe that you can do something that other people haven't. Second, and this is an area that I think I've learned over time, is you have to be able to kind of like flatten out the emotional amplitude of day to day. Can't get too excited in any given day, or too down when things are going wrong, because in the course of literally every day, there's lots of both of those. And I think it's just too much to go sort of up and down, up and down. So I've definitely learned to kind of flatten things out. And then ultimately, you just have to be like incredibly driven. And at least for me, it's not driven by monetary gain. Personally, for me, entrepreneurship is about building. It's about assembling teams of like-minded people who you really enjoy spending time with, and get excitement out of tackling really hard problems and solving them. And then our view, has always been sort of, if you can do that, and you can build the right environment where talented people thrive, then you can build really valuable things. And so FitMob is really exactly that. I mean, we've had some of the most talented and incredible people I've ever worked with in my life, come and sort of join in this mission. And we are really trying to change an industry, right? So we essentially like invented the idea of creative intelligence, 7 or 8 years ago. And now, as we sort of head deeper into this AI world, we are laser focused on the idea that it's like creative data, essentially like the output of our creative analytics platform, that creative data is going to be like the essential ingredient to get like differentiated results from really incredible AI tools, but ultimately kind of commodities, like DALL-E or Midjourney or Firefly, all these great like Gen AI tools. They are amazing, but if everyone in the world is using them, then it's not logically possible for them to be advantages. So the question then is like, if you're Burger King or McDonald's, like how do you get differentiated output from a commodity tool? And our view there is that that's creative data. It's like knowing exactly what to make when you can make literally anything you want. We've gotten there through having just like incredible people who are able to basically see a future they want to exist, and then are willing to put in the years of work to make that possible future become a reality.
Part of what you do and the territory that is unique to VidMob is really understanding the why behind creativity and optimization to drive the bottom line, to drive outcomes. I'm a layman about AI. I know that on our Advertising Week stages around the world, it is, if we were at Baskin-Robbins, it would be the flavor of the month, right? We have an awful lot of content now around artificial intelligence. But I would be hard pressed to, if I was under questioning, and this is a jury, I would be hard pressed to lend real definition to how it works today as a difference maker. Take us behind the curtain and explain to me as a layman, Alex, how AI is changing the game at VidMob, where we are today, and more importantly, in your VidMob crystal ball, where do you see us going in 6 months or a year?
Yeah, okay, that's a great. So I would say like how it's been impacting us, where it is today, and where it's going. I think that's sort of a perfect framework. So the reality is we've been using AI in probably less sexy forms for 7, 8 years now. Like, so when we started down this path of creative analytics, that was enabled by what was then really nascent, computer vision, optical character recognition, natural language processing. All of these are sort of AI-based tools. And so we could take a video, or more appropriately, many thousands of videos, and push them through these AI pipelines and get back data. So you take a 10-second ad for a marketer, done a bunch of public case studies with L'Oreal and Kenvue and Marriott and folks like that. So we could take their content, and in every frame in each of those ads, there are things that are happening. There's an actress is, smiling or, looking surprised. She's holding up the package of the lotion or rubbing it on her hand. There's messages, that are delivered, orally. There's messages that are sort of on screen. And so all of that can be tabulated and turned into data points using AI. And so that was sort of what we, kind of how we were using AI for the, the initial sort of, 5, 6 years of VidMob, basically like the assembly of data from raw media. Now, I think the world we've sort of gotten into is that AI is becoming a creative tool. So not just a way to understand, but a way to actually sort of generate. And we're not at the point yet where really high quality brands can sort of turn over everything to AI systems. It's either for licensing reasons or, just for general quality or, for, risk. It still needs a human AI, combination to get to a result that's going to be of the nature. But we're clearly heading towards a world where, in the not 5 year future, in literally like the next, sort of 12 to 24 months, we're all going to be able to, with basically, infinite scale, and at very little cost, create all of the content that one could possibly want, right? So our view is that we're sort of heading from this world that we've kind of all lived all our lives in, which was sort of where the premise was essentially like content scarcity. It was difficult to create for every, format. And so the marketers that succeeded were the ones that had scalable processes to create the quality content that got their brands out in distinctive ways. Very soon, we're going to shift from that paradigm to a new one, which is what we think was like content infinity. Like every marketer on the planet, including, like pizza shops on the corner, will be able to create like their Michael Bay. And so in that content infinity, then the question is like, how are you going to stand out? Like value changes incredibly. Like value used to be being able to create, and if everyone can create, then value is no longer being able to create. And so like that's sort of where we see this going here, and it as the goalposts move, and now everyone needs to your point, understand why did this ad work and that one didn't? Why did this one work for that audience, but not for this audience? Why did this work like last week, but it's no longer working this week? Like, what's changed in culture? And so, having that information is going to be sort of where value exists in the future, because all that really matters from a marketer, like, the goal of a marketer isn't to make an ad. The goal of a marketer is to drive better results than their competitors, and through that, to drive sort of business advantage. And so, that's sort of where we see AI sort of coming in is combining these two things, generating that creative data and the understanding and the why, and then being able to input that as essentially like a prompt into these AI tools to then drive the rapid new creative based on that why. So you get exactly the content that's going to drive those results.
So some big words and phrases. Let's peel a couple layers off the onion. Content infinity. A local pizza shop can be Michael Bay and create content at that level. What's missing in that equation is humans. And I always wonder about things that are so technology enabled. I don't have one anymore, but for 6 years I drove a Tesla. And I was always a little worried about that self-driving. And my wife would always really worry when I would use it once in a while. And today, not surprisingly to me, you will hear, not every day, but you will hear of some accident that happened when the car was in that self-driving mode. And I know there's been a big movement and a big pullback. Years ago, we had Mary Barra on stage at General Motors, and I think the focus then, the company was called Maven, and that was their self-driving initiative. And I think it all went away. Are we looking at a world here where, by disengaging the human component of it and this reliance on technology as it relates to content creation, that inevitably we're going to miss something? We might miss that emotional connection. We might miss an area of sensitivity that culture demands we pay attention to. Or am I barking up a wrong tree here that doesn't really exist?
I don't think you are. I mean, I do think it's, I sort of view it as different than self-driving cars, kind of, because like, I actually do think that that's probably one of these things that will be largely solvable. But creativity is, and communicating with emotional resonance, I think is actually much harder than getting a car to, avoid a pothole or slow down when a car in front of you slows down. So, yeah, I want to be clear, like VidMob is not designed or built to eliminate the human creative. We just think that that individual can be armed with, data and information and tools that can make him or her better at their job. So the common example that I refer to a lot is we were working with a cruise line business, years ago, and our analytics platform was coming back and showing them data that was it made it clear that for people under 30 on Facebook, it was really important that they featured waterfalls and horses in their ads. And so now the kind of like AI totalists would say, okay, just put that in now to a Gen AI system, and so you end up with like thousands of ads of horses and waterfalls, and probably pretty quickly destroy that brand. But a human analyst in this case, looking at that, was able to sort of take it that next level to generate the actual strategic insight out of this, which was that people under 30 were going on cruises not because they wanted to be on the boat, but because the boat was just a way to go from port to port to port. And what actually drove them was off-ship experiences, as adventure. And that the horse and the waterfall were literally just like proxies for these off-ship experiences. And so we made a series of ads sort of, for them through the marketplace that were, themed around off-ship adventures and like, basically tripled their performance. And so I think like that is like the sort of interplay where the AI-based system, the machine is able to come back with, kind of like non-emotional and ultimately non-strategic data points that a human is then able to kind of like get to that sort of strategic level. And those goalposts are going to move. The machine's going to get better and better, and it's going to get more and more strategic, and they're going to suggest, rationale that might be great, might be totally insane. But then a human practitioner looking at it, they're just going to get like 10x better at their job, the same way like programmers are now, where you still need a human programmer, but he or she using Copilot can be, much more effective than they were, 2 years ago.
Great, great answer. And equipping us with more powerful tools certainly benefits all. I get it.
But I think we are going to see a flood of ads that just miss the mark, right? We're going to see tons and tons of stuff that that's just like a product. And if you live in Denver, you're going to see mountains in the background. And if you live in Phoenix, you're going to see deserts in the background. And we're going to call this a great, advance in personalization. And none of it's going to work because it's going to miss the point. And ultimately, if everyone in Denver is seeing ads with mountains in the background, then of course that's going to fail. So I think like we that combined kind of human AI, partnership is going to be the path to success. And better companies are going to figure out how to do it, and other companies are going to try to over-rotate. And my guess is they might have a little hype cycle in the beginning, and then they probably fall off after that.
Yeah, listen, in some ways, not like the way it's been forever, right? There will be folks that will gravitate towards something new. Anytime something new comes along, it presages the notion that what was there before will go away. That's not true. We've learned that lesson time and time again. But I love your answer about just better tools and really enabling in the VidMob ecosystem just to be more effective and focus on those outcomes. So we use the word human, humanity a few times. That's also a big part of you, one of the next wave of board members of the Ad Council. And there is a new generation of leaders there. I think Lisa and her team are doing a great, great job. We've been partners with them since we started Advertising Week 20 years ago. Talk about being on that board. It's a mix of the old and the new. But I think getting that next generation of great leaders like yourself in there is critical. And to Lisa's credit, they're doing it.
Well, I mean, the Ad Council is just one of the, I think, more impactful and more incredible organizations, the last, 5 or 6 decades, and every time I hear see a Smokey Bear radio ad or hear it's always just makes me proud that we're able to work with them. So we started a foundation called VidMob Gives early in the company's history, and ever since have been pushing 1% of our sort of revenues into the foundation. And we actually ended up a few years later putting 1% of the company's equity into the foundation treasury as well. And through this have been, used a way to sort of like fund pro bono work for charities. So our relationship with the Ad Council started through that, basically just working to provide services to help take some of the incredible television creative that was being created by some of their agency partners and then help really kind of blow it out and, expand it and make it more impactful in social channels. And that, relationship, continues to this day. And, my involvement on the Ad Council board was, something that I took a great deal of pleasure out of. And, I feel like, I think people underestimate how good it is for a company to get involved in giving. One of the better decisions VidMob ever made was the foundation of VidMob Gives, and it's something that we get so much out of that I wouldn't change that for anything.
And going back again to your tenure years ago, working on the board of what was then the world's top online film school, seems like giving back is really part of your DNA.
Yeah, I mean, I think like it's funny. Sometimes it doesn't really feel like giving back, right? It just feels like you're working with really incredible people to do things that drive priorities for you. I mean, I think a lot of the work that we do through VidMob Gives is rooted around issues that are really important to employees at the company. And when we're able to be responsive and help, recently there were floods in Brazil and we were able to, help kind of provide resources there. We've gotten involved in a number of different issues. And so at some level, it doesn't even feel like giving because ultimately, like we're the one, we come out of it feeling great about, the business, the fact that VidMob is able to, be, a small part of it to help. And it makes us all feel good about the company we're a part of. So I guess I have kind of to me, that just seems like one of the smarter investments that the company's ever made. And I think of it the same, but vis-a-vis like in my, personal time.
And you've also been consistent over the 10 years or so of VidMob, women leadership in the company, embracing diversity as part of the VidMob creative community. Lately, there's been a bizarre, to me, pushback around a lot of DEI initiatives. And suddenly you're seeing the pendulum swing bizarrely to me the other way. Talk about how that commitment has really helped fuel your growth. You guys have grown tremendously over the years, but lots of women in your leadership of the company and have really made diversity part of that VidMob creative community.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of these things that we just have gotten so much benefit out of those hiring decisions that it just became really, really clear that VidMob was a far better company by having a diverse, executive staff and sort of throughout the whole company. So, you're exactly right. I think I wrote a blog post about how one of our secret weapons was having so many, women in our leadership team, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And, just in the last few weeks, we've hired three new leaders in our senior leadership team and all three of them are women. Ultimately, like we don't go into these things looking to, to say, hey, we need to hire this type of person. We're always looking for the best person for every role. It's just a lot of times it happens to be a female and that's great. And then I think when you're in a creative business, the more diverse the viewpoints are and diverse the people around the table are, you're just going to get to better ideas. I think at the end of the day, that's just a pretty obvious reality. I think the change, I'm not really sure what's driving the sort of changes in the industry now. I'm with you. I see it as maybe not totally surprising because there's sort of human nature, but it's certainly disappointing. And so as it relates to VidMob, we're going to continue to do what we see working. And I'll keep writing blog posts about it. And hopefully through our success, we can get other people to maybe change their mind.
Yeah, no, I'm very much with you. And I think, listen, a lot of this is within our lifetimes, well within our lifetimes, America is going to be more than 50% non-white. And you just look at the size of the Hispanic population, the Black population, the API population, the number of kids they have. It's just where the math is going. And I think there's a lot of the old guard. You know, I went to school in Georgia, and I think, you know, there's a lot of folks down there that think the wrong side won the Civil War. And I think there's a lot of folks in parts of our country really amplified today, both, and I'm talking, I don't like the crazy right or the crazy left, but I think there's a lot of voices that don't really like what's happening in this country right now, and, you know, driving the immigration conversation and things of that nature. I think a lot of us have forgotten that all of us in America, our roots, we all come from somewhere else. And so what you're doing to ensure that you're talking to everyone, I couldn't agree with more.
Yeah, I think, like, and not to get into the, you know, right-left politics of it, but you can sort of see just now in the Democratic presidential, you know, election, like the transition from Biden to Kamala, a diverse female, you know, African-American, Southeast Asian, you know, descent, like, just look at how that's driven engagement within the Democratic Party, right? So clearly these things can be, like, great for business in a sense. And I don't know, my point of view is that the world's going to continue to change, and, you know, I'm going to embrace it. And I think there's, like, you know, getting back to the thing I said at the beginning, you can always find positives in these things. This is an area where it's really easy to find the positives.
I agree with you. So let's start to wrap by talking about a word that really binds together so much of what you've created at VidMob, Alex, and that's the word effectiveness. You know, there are a number of groups around the world, I think, that really have focused in on this. I think the IPA out of London in particular has done a lot of groundbreaking work under our old friend Paul Baines Fair there around effectiveness. And of course, the Effies are all about effectiveness, many other awards, which I personally put a lot less stock in. But I do think that the notion of effectiveness is fundamental to success in our business. Talk about how you wrap everything that you're doing around that notion, around outcomes, and around effectiveness.
Yeah, and this is, like, probably, like, the most foundational thing about what we're doing, right? I think so much of the industry's focus, particularly the, you know, ad tech and sort of technology investment, and frankly, just so much of sort of, like, marketer mindshare has been focused on, like, media efficiency for the last sort of 10, 15 years. And it's been great, but, and there's a big but, is, you know, there are a number of factors where we're sort of coming, you know, first of all, after, you know, 10 plus years of investment and focus there, there's just, like, the available gains are smaller. Second, you know, we're, as the world sort of changes in our views on privacy and we start to move, you know, sort of post ATT and towards, you know, cookie deprecation, you know, media effectiveness is going down. And then lastly, and this is the one that I was sort of, you know, that we've been so focused on, is that everyone agrees creative is the most important driver of business performance. I've never heard anyone argue that, but there's so little investment there, right? And there always has been. I think a big part of it is because the technology, it would, like, there was nothing it could do. Like, what would you do with technology pre-AI to drive, you know, creative? So now what we're sort of seeing is that this is, like, the great 10x opportunity. Like, this piece that was at least half of business results that has been underinvested or non-invested is now becoming an opportunity to improve. And at the same time, you have companies like VidMob and others that are building these sort of, like, creative data technologies to enable marketers to sort of tabulate and understand and generate their creative data the same way they've been generating audience and customer data and using that across their whole marketing, you know, supply chain. Now we can help, you know, marketers build their own creative data and then apply that in their planning, apply it in their production, apply it in their media decisioning, apply it in their measurement. And when we do that, what happens is they become so much more effective, right? Like, we just see this again and again and again, where it's like campaign was operating here. We made, you know, used data to make changes and saw that we increased it 120%, 180%, 70%. I think on average, VidMob was seeing, like, a 70% increase in the KPIs that our clients cared about in effectiveness. And the brilliant thing is it's very measurable, right? Like we can sort of look at how they were operating before adopting these systems and then look at it after. We can now, we've sort of in the course of the last 6 months, opened up a public API that goes to our measurement partners. We're starting to partner with MMM providers like Analytic Partners and Nielsen and others so that our clients can actually drive a creative signal into those measurement frameworks and start to understand the effectiveness of focusing on creative improvement. So I think to me, like this is really exciting because it's huge opportunity. Like we are frequently talking to new clients and saying, hey, in the first year or in the first couple of years, the goal here is to drive $10 million, $100 million in measurable improved effectiveness. And it's a big opportunity, and it's one that I think there's going to be a lot of excitement when people start to realize these results.
Fantastic stuff. So somewhere in the VidMob office, there's a wall or a screen that's got your plans on it for the next year or two, and where you think the company's going, where do you think the business is going? If we're chatting again in a year, Alex, what do you think we're talking about that we didn't hit on today?
Well, I think what you're going to see is VidMob sort of doing a couple of things. We're going to be expanding sort of laterally across the places people are spending dollars. So, our roots have been in sort of social walled gardens, the Metas and Googles and TikToks and Amazons. But we're sort of pushing now into the open web with DV360, with Amazon's DSP. We're pushing into retail media. Obviously, there's a lot of growth there. We have a deep partnership with Amazon, but we'll be expanding into other retail media channels. And then we're going to continue to push into CTV as well, because all of these things are creative intelligence and creative data can be applied to. And so, as part of that, though, we'll be expanding our sort of data in and measurement partnerships. We announced a partnership with Realize that for attention. We're starting to do more work with sort of brand lift, studies, so we can compare to kind of brand lift. And we're starting now through clean rooms to tie all the way through to actual like offline sales. And that's what sort of enables these like CTV and some of like the lower signal environments. So I think next time we chat, my hope is that VidMob will be kind of like full continuum creative data, not just in sort of the walled gardens, which will just expand the amount of impact we can bring to our clients.
Well, it's a great, great story. I really enjoyed our conversation. I think I'm a little smarter about where AI fits in the whole thing. And it's a great ongoing story. And I'm really glad we had a chance to have you here on Great Minds. So thank you so much, Alex.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.